Coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Live Curious Realm. Hope everybody has been doing great. I am doing fantastic tonight. I am more than excited for our show. For all of you tuning in during the second part, please do remember our second part is always pre-recorded. So if you have a question for Dr. John Hall, he is available, as he says all the time, locally available on social media. Feel free to find him. He will answer any questions. Feel free to send us any questions on our website if you'd like us to ask him privately. But please do remember that, unfortunately, sometimes people try to chat in questions during the second part of the show. And I always have to remind them, like, this is a pre-recorded segment. We tried doing the live two-guest thing at the beginning, and it got to where we'd be having a great conversation with someone like Michael J.S. Carter, but have to be leaving a guest on hold in the background while we were going long with good conversation. And I never want to do that to guests. I never want to make them feel as though they got shorted time or anything like that. So it became an opportunity to sell ad space in the middle and to have a pre-recorded conversation, which makes the first part so much more flowy and gives us time to talk about things like Project Bluebeam tonight. I have been wanting to talk about this topic for a long time, and as many of you know, I try to demystify things on this show. I don't sit like some shows do and just talk about conspiracy theory all day long. I like to talk about facts, figures, about the science and the phenomenology of things. But this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. When I first started Dudes and Beer many, many years ago and first began getting guests like John Hall on and covering hard topics, one of the things that we wanted to talk about was this, Project Bluebeam. And I remember there was a person that I contacted via social media, via LinkedIn. At the point, my LinkedIn game was insanely strong, still is. But when I invited him onto the show, and they were very much in the beginnings of UFO media, UFO coverage, things like that. And they wanted to come on the show, but no longer did public appearances or talk shows because they were afraid of what had happened to so many of their friends, where they would be discredited or where they would be hurt or brought down ill. He was very concerned for himself, very concerned for his family, and very concerned with the fact that what he saw going on in the UFO UAP community was basically a version of Project Bluebeam, the topic that we will be talking about tonight with Reverend Michael J.S. Carter. And I wanted to bring a reverend in to talk about Project Bluebeam for one very specific reason, folks. The original concept behind Project Bluebeam, as given by Serge Manast, I will pop that up on screen and we'll go over it before we bring Michael J.S. Carter on. In 1994, Serge Manast published Project Bluebeam NASA, in which he detailed his claim that NASA will help the United Nations in attempting to implement a new age religion with the Antichrist as its head and start a new world order via technology simulated second coming of Christ through these four steps. Step one, breaking down of the archaeological knowledge by faking earthquakes at precise locations around the planet. fake new discoveries will finally explain to all people the error of all fundamental religious doctrines, specifically Christian and Muslim doctrines. We'll be getting into that. Step two, gigantic space show wherein a three-dimensional holographic laser projection will be beamed all over the planet. The projections will take shape of whatever deity is most prominent and will speak in all languages. At the end of the light show, all gods will merge into one, the Antichrist. Also in step two, dissolution of social and religious order will set loose millions of programmed religious fanatics through demonic possession on a scale never witnessed before. The United Nations plans to use Beethoven's Ode to Joy as an introduction to the New Age One World Religion. Step three, which directly relates to our second guest, Dr. John Hall, telepathic electronic two-way communication, which involves making people think their God is speaking to them through telepathy, projected into the head of each person individually using extreme low-frequency radio waves. And step four has three parts, making humanity think an alien invasion is about to occur at every major city, making Christians think the rapture is about to happen, and a mixture of electronic and supernatural forces, allowing the supernatural forces to travel through fiber optic, coax power, and telephone lines to penetrate all electronic equipment and appliances that will by then have a special microchip installed. The goal of this deals with the global satanic ghost projected all around the world to push populations to the edge of hysteria and madness. And it goes on from there. Welcome to the show, Michael J.S. Carter.
Hey, brother. This is a nice light topic to start the evening.
Yeah. You know, something for us to hang out, chat about.
Yes. Wow,
man, you and I have chatted about this privately before.
Yes.
And that is one reason why I wanted to talk about it. But in addition to that, I bore witness to something at MUFON Symposium, where I had interviewed this gentleman before. This was the first time that I've ever removed a message from my show ever. Never done an interview and not aired it.
Wow.
Never done an interview for air and not aired it until this situation. And an experiencer and MUFON member who was there at the show presenting there on a couple panels, there is an author who was there with her book, was confronted by a reverend who was there, pretty prominent in the UFO communities, things like that. I will not mention his name, but he went up to her. Her book is about her near-death experience and about her trip to what she calls the void, how that mm-hmm. brought her closer to her God, how it brought her to a deeper point of religion and brought her to a point of acceptance, to where she was able to accept that she had a UFO experience when she had one. Changed her life, all kinds of amazing things. Now, this guy proceeded to come up to her with a list of questions. I mean, scrolling through his phone, list of questions, my friend.
Wow. Very, very, very inquisition.
Going, and especially about her experience and her experience in the void. And did she think that her experience in the void was by chance demonic?
Yeah.
Because she didn't see the light. And when she said, no, I don't think it was, it brought me very much closer to my God, very much closer to my faith.
Yes.
Made me realize a lot of things. And he proceeded into the very, very deep cut of literal translation of, well, I'm not questioning your spiritual experience. That wouldn't be for me to do with you. That would be for me to do with the head of your household.
Whoa.
And it was like, yo, man, Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of old school, isn't it?
And that was like, that was true literalism at its deepest.
Oh, yeah.
And when I heard him start throwing around the words demonic and dark, and I hear that more and more from many, many who are very, very deep religious. I will not give it a left or a right because I hear it from both sides.
Sure.
And I hear that from a lot, though, where they believe that these things that are coming to us from the sky and everything else are dark in nature, and that they believe that they are demonic in source.
Yeah. Listen, you know, it's the tale of two cities in a way. You have folks like Brother Stephen Greer, who, not unless his position has changed, that all of them, and if I'm overstating, then I'm sure he'll correct me, but that all of these beings are benevolent. And I don't know if that's true. My own studies and my experiences would not imply that. And then you have the other extreme. And, you know, the truth is always somewhere in the middle, where they're all demonic, that, you know, all the reptilians are bad, all the grays are bad, all the geese. And so, you know, it's kind of typical. But usually the truth is somewhere in the middle. And so here we have, again, this polarity. I don't know what to say about it, except that it provides a lot of consternation. You know, there are some people who have God's number on speed dial.
Yeah.
And they kind of know whatever God is saying. They seem to be the chosen ones. And anyone who has an experience that doesn't fit their paradigm automatically, you're suspect.
Yeah.
And I think that is medieval. I think it is very dangerous nowadays. But this is what we have here now. We have it in our politics. And of course, we have it in our religions. Now, what I will say, the experiences that I had, you know, I come out on the positive end of it. Did I have post-traumatic stress? Yes. Do I still have it? Yes. Not as much. But it did change my life for the better. I believe that. And along the way, there were beings I bumped into. I don't know whether they were extraterrestrial or whether they were interdimensional. And some of them, I'll use the word mischievous, was maybe the energy that they had. And so I get it that people want to be cautious. People want to be vigilant, if you will. But if we take these broad strokes and just say they're all demonic, just as if we say they're all benevolent, I think we're really missing the mark there.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It puts it the way I've been putting it, especially now with the words of Grush and the whistleblower testimony, non-human intelligence, things like that. There are a lot of people that don't like that term. I love that term because it takes all of this work and pulls it out of the box of alien, Michael.
Yeah.
Because
I agree with you.
It's all been thrown into a box that says either Kleenex or Xerox. And there's numerous copy makers. There's numerous tissue makers. But we've put them all inside of this box. And once again, if it doesn't fit inside of the box of alien, we're not going to look at it. And that's no different than science saying if it doesn't fit inside the box of science, we're not going to look at it.
Yeah. I don't like the word alien. You
know, so
I hear what you're saying. But do you see, even then we're arguing? It's like arguing over God.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't like the way he says it. I don't like the way she says it. And then you miss the whole thing.
Yeah.
So here we are with Project Bluebeam, with Brother Manast, who died mysteriously when he was born in 1945. He was arrested, and then I think the next day or something, he was found dead.
Yep.
So that sets it up as something sinister going on. And so when you were reading this, I was thinking this. there's technology in order to be able to carry this off, has to be very sophisticated. It sounds to me like the technology to carry this off would probably come from a faction of malevolent star people. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's true, but in order to pull something off like that, you probably would have to have, you couldn't do it by yourself is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, what's his name? Brother Von Braun, Nazi though he was, he came over at Operation Paperclip. And, he's telling Carol Rosen back in the 70s, I believe, or the early 80s, that we were going to have all these. He predicted the enemies that we had planned on fighting in the Middle East, Russia, Israel, Iran, Iraq. And remember, he told her that the last card to be played would be the extraterrestrial card. And he said it would be all based on a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this sounds like this could be part of that.
Yeah.
Again, looking at the technology and what it would take to do this, you know, you'd have to put a dome, over certain parts of the country, certain countries. I mean, that technology would, I think that technology, if governments had it, they must have gotten it from off-world intelligence. It's to be able to pull off something like that.
Well, and I was popping up some articles on screen while you were talking there. One of them is about, here's one of them. Pentagon report investigated lasers that put voices in your head. So there's that one. also holograms that you can touch and feel. Most people are not aware of the fact that we are now to the point of holograms where we do not need a surface. Used to be in order to get a hologram in midair, you had to have some kind of medium like mist or something like that in order for the laser to be seen. We don't need
that
anymore.
Where do you think we got that technology?
Yeah. Yeah. No. And precisely. More than likely off world at that point.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. So that means that there are some beings who would be in cahoots with that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what our more orthodox and conservative brothers and sisters are leery of, that kind of power is demonic or that it is from, some kind of soulless entity or what have you. And I think that's what people are afraid of there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, once again.
And I get that. I'd be afraid, too.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you've got a right to be concerned, most definitely. You and I have had the conversation numerous times on this show. Don't expect the government to disclose anything that's not in their vested interest.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm sorry, but I just don't see them doing it. What I do see them doing is if, let's say, things have speeded up since 2017, Christopher Mellon, Elizondo, Brother Grush, and others who, events have started speeding up, but it's still a slow drip. But my point is this, that let's say there was an event that could not be explained away. Maybe we saw a pilot get out of a ship. Someone had a cell phone or what have you. But because of this slow drip of disclosure, they have a backup because they can always say, well, yes, but we were trying to tell you about this.
Yeah.
We were telling you about this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, the powers that be, they're always thinking. And so while we're asleep, they're thinking. And so this still buys them time. But this slow drip of disclosure. I've always wondered why we haven't started dealing with the religious implications of this. Obviously, being a clergy person,
but
right now the narrative is by the government is tech and national security.
Yeah,
that's the narrative now. We're not touching anything else. We're not touching anything about a change in consciousness. We're not talking about people who are experiencers, that kind of thing. This is where we are.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, and granted, you know, there were all kinds of headlines out there about this. What happened was that there was a study put forth, and one of the places brought aboard had 12 theologians on their staff. So one of the many places that they went to for data had them. But that was something that was brought about in the book Brookings report. Like, feel free to go to our knowledge vault, folks. We have the entire undisclosed Brookings report there. Back whenever that happened in the early 50s, the whole what are the possibilities of manned spaceflight? One of the things they brought up was what happens if we make contact with something from outside? Mm-hmm. And they basically said, we would recommend you not tell the general public. They are a panicky lot.
Right. Exactly.
Like people are, or individuals are smart. People are panicky.
Yeah. I don't think people would flip out now, but you would have some people questioning their religious beliefs and you would need some clergy there to kind of guide them through. But the clergy cannot be government appointed.
No.
Because then they will all, and right now they are. I mean, even the article you just showed, the people who were invited to that, and I don't want to sound like sour grapes, but the people who were invited that with NASA, there are people who are going to toe the party line.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there was with all of that, there are going to be people that toe a party line. Whether it's politically, whether it's religiously, what have you. And the church came out, the Catholic Church came out a good decade ago and said that anything alien related, UFOs, alien life, what have you, does not in any way, shape or form conflict with Catholic doctrine, doesn't conflict with the salvation of Christ. So that was a big one. That was a big one when it happened.
It was a big one. Especially when you consider just a few centuries ago, they were burning people to death for even mentioning that. What a turnaround.
Well, precisely. And, you know, now the idea of catalyzing a group of people, which is exactly what they're talking about. Now, granted, the UFOs get brought up. Eventually, things like that. A lot of Project Bluebeam has to do with the religious part of things and basically taking advantage of the fact that those who are of the true believer sect. And that goes across the board religiously, folks. That goes across the board politically. That goes across the board scientifically. If you are of the true believer sect, it's hard to convince a true believer otherwise. You're never going to convince, like, nobody will ever convince me. My prime example, your book Initiation. Nobody will ever convince you that those things did not happen to you.
Right.
They happened to you uniquely.
Yes.
Nobody will ever convince me that my religious experience did not happen to me.
Yes.
I don't care what chair you tie me to.
Yes.
I don't care what you do to me. You ain't going to convince me otherwise.
Exactly.
And my experience made me the true believer.
Well, and see, that's the thing. It's and this is way, you know, this is what Paul was talking about with Peter and John. They were saying, we walked with him. Mm. We talked with him. We were in Jerusalem with him. And Paul said, yeah, but I had the experience of him on Damascus Road. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Paul's saying, I had the experience too.
Yeah.
And you can't make me change that.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm just using it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can't take that experience away. You're not gonna rescale my eyes.
Yeah. You can't, you know, and so But this is what I think is at the crux of all religion. It's not, it's what you've experienced. Or let's say religious experience.
Sure.
It's about what you've experienced. It's not about something you read. It's not about something that someone told you. It's not about, you know, the knee must bow a certain way.
Yeah.
That's why mystics have always been at odds with their religions, whether you're Sufi, whether you're a Christian mystic, whatever, because they're saying, I don't need an intermediary.
Yeah.
I don't need you to interpret anything for me. I don't need you to stand between me and creation. I can have this experience on my own.
Yeah. I don't need to pay for a dove at the temple for a burnt offering.
Yes. And so when I'm looking at this brother talking about, I wish he was alive and so many questions I'd like to ask him, but it does to me, it does have a fundamentalist bent to it, using words like Antichrist.
Oh, absolutely. Age. Oh, absolutely. No. And that's just it. Like this is
being rediscovered.
Yeah. Yeah. And
do you see what I'm saying? You know, yeah, that's where I'm going with this. I mean, to me, what is wrong with saying that there may be different paths, but we all come from the same source. You may call it God, Allah, the Force.
Yeah.
And so this has a very conservative Christian overlay to it. That if you're not, if you are not towing the party line, I'm using that line again, then somehow you are part of a new age. You are part of demonic possession.
Yes.
So you can see where this is. You can, you know, when you watch a commercial and you see the people in the commercial and you go, well, there's my target audience right there. Well, that Project Bluebeam definitely has a specific target audience.
Absolutely. And you know that is the one thing, Michael, that has disturbed me about the way I am a huge proponent of the disclosure that is happening. I am a huge proponent of the hearings that are happening. I'm a huge proponent of the conversation that has been started because of the bravery of folks like Lou Elizondo.
Yes.
Yes. However, I still question a lot of it. I still question a lot of it because it's coming from a government that, yes. I don't know, maybe it's because every time the CIA has ever gone into that same exact chamber, they've lied bold-faced to us.
No, I'm with you.
I'm not even 50, and that's where I'm at with the disillusionment.
Well, no, I'm with you, man. I mean, because history bears it out.
Yeah.
But I would say what you're doing is what I'm doing. I'm aware of my skepticism, but I'm also willing to be open enough to say, okay, let's see where this is going to go.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with this. So that's where I am now. But you know, I mean, this is happening really quickly. You know, and so, and I don't know, I've heard things about their timelines, you know, that that some of these intelligences have warned the Earth's governments that if you, you know, you got 5 years, and if you don't tell them, then we're going to tell them. And then I've heard just the opposite, where there's some factions, even extraterrestrial factions, that say, no, they're not ready yet, meaning us, that they need to know a little bit more about what space is about, what this universe is about. So, yeah. So only time will tell. But in the meantime, there's always going to be people, organizations, governments, if you will, that are going to try to pull the wool over people's eyes, because there are a lot of people who do not want, because, hey man, when disclosure happens, what's going to happen to, the stock market? What's going to happen to diseases like cancer? What's going to happen with that? What's going to happen with are we still going to be using coal? Are we still going to be using gas? Do you see what I'm saying? And there are a lot of people who are thinking, I don't want this to happen. I'm getting rich off of this. Why do I want this stuff to change?
Precisely. And I mean, looking at the technology that we have, things like that, like right here in step four, they're talking about the mixture of electronic and supernatural forces, allowing supernatural forces to travel through fiber optic coax. I don't know. One of the things I've been saying for a long time is, wow, we're all rolling around with a little black mirror in our pocket all the time. I don't have a television in my bedroom, because it's just a big old black mirror when it's not on, and I don't want that in my room while I'm asleep.
I know I'm hearing you, man. But again, I want to get back to, this. Okay, I'm looking at Ephesians. Yeah. Well, I was looking at Ephesians, right? And again. Oh, where did I do with it? Oh, I'm looking at Ephesians, okay? And this is the Greek Hebrew Study Bible, 12. Ephesians 6, 12. Mm-hmm. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood.
It's against
but against the rulers. Yes. Yeah, then that, yeah. This print, yeah. I'm just doing this. This is a different translation, but mm-hmm. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the forces of this world, of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So even back then, they were dealing with these off-world intelligences. And some of them were benevolent. We can throw Jesus in there if you want. And some of them were not. And so, whether you read it, powers and principalities, but the last line is, but we're dealing with wickedness in heavenly places. That's just another world of saying, that's just another way of saying off world.
Sure.
So, so they're saying the same thing, that they were having, our ancestors were having to deal with the same way that we have to deal. Here's something for you. If you go to 1 Kings 22, 19 to 23, there's a prophet, Micaiah. He remote views an ET council meeting where there's a false flag operation being discussed by Yahweh and others. It's 1 Kings 22, 19, 23. To sum it up, Yahweh wants a war started, and he's asking in this council, in some places they call it the heavenly host, but I call it the Elohim. So there's a council, and they want to start a war. And Yahweh is basically saying, but I need a lying spirit to put in the mouths of one of the prophets. Yeah. And a spirit steps forth and says, I will do it. Now I'm summing it up, but the viewers can go if they can pull their Bibles out.
I've got it right here.
Okay. Okay.
And you can see.
And you said, yeah, the Elohim, they're sitting around talking. And okay, wherever you see the word of the Lord, L-O-R-D, just put that to Elohim.
Yeah.
I saw the Elohim or Yahweh, who was one of the Elohim, sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven, which is a council, standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And Yahweh says, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. So they're debating it. And there came forth a spirit. Now, we don't know if it was an energy being, if it was another ET, but there came forth a spirit who stood before Yahweh and said, I will persuade him. That's, yeah. Now, we have a word for that. So, okay. And
it's
Yahweh
called coercion.
Says, well, it's called, we call it a false flag.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we call that. So even our ancestors were having to deal with these off-world intelligences. Some of them that were here to help, like when Daniel was in the lion's den and the angel comes, and some of them, they come to Mary, they come to Elizabeth, and some of them, like Yahweh, and like these characters sitting around talking, some of them are up to no good.
Yeah.
It's right there. You see, I'm glad you pulled it up. I didn't make it up. Now, Micaiah, not to be confused with the prophet Micah, he is remote viewing this. He's seeing this.
Yeah.
So he says, and Yahweh says unto him, well, Elohim says, wherewith? And he said, I will go and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he says, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. In other words, go and be a lying spirit. And so we can make this false flag operation happen.
Yeah. Now, we've had a listener that has given an account that they have and ended with the question of, they are not sure how religion can be a part of UFOs, things like that. The main thing that we are talking about here is, A, if you go back at the beginning of the Bible, let us make man in our image, things like that, the plurals that are used, we're talking about a group of people. It even refers to them as the Watchers later on in Genesis. And the reason that we are bringing this up, dear listener, is because there are a great group. I mean, believe it or not, big group now of fundamentalist Christians who fully believe that UFOs, the presence of UFOs, everything that is happening, proves and confirms the Bible literally. That is what we're talking about. And the reason we're talking about that is because those are the people that, at least I believe, I think the good reverend might believe as well, that are prone for and rife for this type of manipulation, once again, the true believer, it can be hard to be a true believer and not, and still be a critical thinker.
Yes. Yes. It is definitely more difficult because any type of thinking outside the box is suspect.
Yeah.
It's the reason that, you know, you couldn't ask certain questions when you were growing up, and if you know, yeah, about the Bible or about religion, because if you did, you were a troublemaker. But you were just asking. And I remember when the anger I had at religion was because the answers were given me before I could even ask the questions.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's a paradigm of thought that is laid out before you.
Yes. Yes. If you question it, you are suspect. So you cannot think, you cannot ask questions. You're just set up to. So you're either for us or against us.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground. And for the reader, for the listener, I would suggest go back and reread reread some or read some of the Sumerian creation stories, because that's where Genesis came from. And they clearly, read some of Zachariah Sitchin's work.
There are two creation stories woven together at the beginning of Genesis.
Yeah. And they are clearly talking about, I'm talking about when you go back to the Epic of Gilgamesh, and which is where Genesis is where the Hebrews got their creation stories from. They are clearly talking about beings coming from the heavens. They're using the language of their day.
Oh, they use no uncertain terms.
You know, they were trying to describe what they were saying, but we have a word for it, and those are called extraterrestrials.
Yeah. Yeah. And once again, it's the subsect of Christianity that is not only targeted in Project Bluebeam and the idea and the concept that they will be catalyzed into action as their revelation occurs, capital R revelation, like apocalyptic revelation occurs before them, the second coming, the imagined second coming through holographic means, which once again, like I posted up a while ago, where MIT is now able to talk to dreamers, to talk to people in dreams. There are companies that are actively looking at putting ad space into dreams. Just being able to pump a Mountain Dew ad into your dream. You know?
Yeah. So they can make some money, because you're going to get up and want to buy Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. It's wild to think about, but at the same time, that is the science that actively exists. It's no longer the realm of science fiction. It is the realm of science fact. Here it is from the MIT Media Lab, like dream shaping tech from MIT channels suggestions into your dreams. I was telling you about the article that I posted the other day, where they have reconstructed a Pink Floyd song from people's memories.
Yeah. Yeah. This, like you said, science fiction has now become science fact. And I think, again, the middle ground, and I'm not trying to give folks an out, but I think that a lot of our more fundamentalistically inclined brothers and sisters, they know that when human beings get together, there's always going to be some type of skullduggery. And so, I think part of that fear is they know that we don't have the spiritual maturity to handle the technology that we have.
Well, I think it's more that we don't have the spiritual cohesiveness as a humanity, Reverend. We're once again, one of the things I bring up regularly, never forget, we killed almost twice as many people in our civil war than we did in World War One and World War Two combined. We are fully ready to kill each other, our family, our friends, because of what we believe.
Yeah.
Period.
And that's what I mean. I mean, call it what we will, but it's the maturity that we're not evolved enough.
Yeah.
To instead of this technology that we're looking at, wherever we got it from, you know, we could feed probably everybody on this planet. We could probably do like they did in Genesis when they terraformed. You know, we'll separate the land from the water and the fresh water. I mean, we could do what these beings did.
Yeah.
But what are we doing? We're going to put a Coca-Cola ad in your dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to make a hologram so we can deceive you and lead you off a cliff somewhere. Those are not the actions of an evolved species. Yeah. That's just not it.
Well,
and so we have to be conservative, straight, not straight, blue state, red state. We have to have a healthy dose of skepticism about our leaders today. We may not agree on how to do that, but we do agree that it is definitely needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, you've got to have the perspective as well. The perspective is what is so entirely important. And, and I think that unfortunately, and this in no way, I am not trying to subtract from anybody's faith, none whatsoever. But distillation mentalities, only thing you get from distillation is something volatile, you know?
Yeah.
And, when you get to the distillation mentality of it's not this, it's evil.
Yeah.
When you get
to, I don't understand.
When you get to the hard black versus white, there is no gray.
Yeah. There's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a problem. And so as we go forth, you know, no matter what one's beliefs are, we have to have a spirit of discernment, because if you don't, every new thing that comes along, and whether it's social media or on television, on the news cycles, it's going to throw you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be getting a lot of disinformation, misinformation, a lot of confusion. And why is that? Because a confused populace, a less educated populist, a fearful populist is easy to control.
Well, and almost more dangerously, Reverend, it's the single-sided information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is the loss of dispassion when looking at a point of datum and just seeing a point of datum, not a challenge to your paradigm or the what you believe or the way that the world works for you. It's just a point of datum. Looking at dispassionately at it to your data set, you know, like I get into some issues in some online communities, Rev, because people see me as a skeptic in a dirty way. Mm-hmm. And I try to remind them that skeptic with a capital S is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
I am a believer of believers. I have had my experiences that have steeled my belief in life. Despite any religious leanings, what have you. However, I still want evidence. Like, I'd love to have evidence of mine. I wish I could quantify it. For somebody,
no, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. I mean, even Buddha said that allegedly on his deathbed, you know, don't believe anything because I told you. You know, you believe it because you've experienced it. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I think that we need to be able to have, I wasn't T.S. Eliot, but I forget who it was that said the mark of a mature mind a mature mind is that you can listen to other evidence.
That's right.
And, you know, and not shun it and still have, you know, hold on to your belief, but you can listen to another perspective. And a lot of people cannot do that.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't want to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, my job as a capital S skeptic is to be looking for the chance that the evidence does change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'm looking for the evidence that I go, well, damn, there it is. Where's that been hiding? You know?
Well, which takes us back to this manufactured second coming.
Yeah, the false flag second coming.
Some people may jump right in and believe it. And some people may say to you or I, if we say, well, I don't know, let me wait and see, then automatically we are demonic. Automatically we are outside of the box.
If we're not for, we're against.
Yes, because we're saying, let's not jump to conclusions yet. So it's six in one hand, half a dozen in the other.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we talk about it all the time on the show, Michael, the fact of that that hardline division, infrared, ultraviolet instead of the happy white light in between, you know? It causes so many issues. Like, we can look just politically at what it has done to our country and to our families in this country over the last decade. The hard line of politics instead of the soft negotiation of topics in between, you know? And I think that polarization, once again, that, I mean, the polarization is what keeps us off kilter and keeps people in control and in power. Absolutely. You're really hard pressed to build a third wall when you're busy keeping the two walls of the lean-to from blowing over in the wind, you know? That's pretty much what we politically live in, is a lean-to, because nobody considers putting a third wall on the house, you know?
Because of that,
we end up in a lot of situations where it is an us versus them mentality, you know, and we set ourselves up for that. And we have to wonder, even religiously, how much we are setting ourselves up for that, Michael. Even philosophically, when it comes to the debate of UAPs, how much are we setting ourselves up for that?
Well, I think it's all intertwined. I know, as I was saying to you before the start of the show, you know, I mean, it's the civilization. You know, you don't debate facts. Some things are true now, and they'll be true 5,000 years from now. And we've come to a point where we can't even agree on what is true, what is real. That's kind of troubling. But I remember right before the show, we were talking about, you know, as we get more and more into, and I'm not afraid of artificial intelligence and
all
these things coming down the pike. I just know that, but you've got to be able to handle them. You've got to be steady and wise how you use them. But again, technology is the new God here.
Yes.
In my mind, that and money. And so the more, whether you're looking at a Star Trek world, the more technological a civilization becomes, the more secular it becomes. Because you're dependent on the technology. You're so dependent on, even when you read the literature about other ET races, whether, you know, a lot of them say, well, we were where you guys are now in our evolution, and we destroyed ourselves, or we almost destroyed ourselves, or we, you know, but, you know, so we live on our ships now, or what have you. When you have that kind of technology, you're always dependent on it. You have to find resources. Whether you're a spacefaring civilization coming here, and maybe you want to help us out, or you may say, you know, we help create these people. Let's kind of stick around. Or you may be coming here because of Earth's resources. But when you have a high technological society, how do you sustain that?
You know,
you have to have more technology.
Absolutely. And what's interesting, while I was at the Remote Viewing Association, I had a private conversation with a pretty well-known remote viewer that was telling me that, yes, in fact, there are reverse engineering programs. Absolutely.
No question.
And a lot of the reason that those programs exist is because the grays, specifically the little grays, are a hive mind. And in order to achieve that, they had to give up individuality. You know, they had to sacrifice that part of them. And with that comes the sacrifice of creativity.
Ingenuity. Exactly.
So you said it. They have amazing technology, but they have no ingenuity in which to reapply that technology in new ways. So they're using us to engineer new ways to use their technology.
So there's conformity.
It was like, wow.
But what we're looking at, I think, Chris, is if let's say that document is true, there's a lot of, let's say it's true. Well, that's almost the same thing. We want you to conform.
Yeah.
We want you to conform as and the state becomes the God.
Yes.
The state becomes the New World Order. The state becomes, you know, the be all end all. And so this is, so we shall see where this takes us. It's fascinating.
It really is. It really is. And we, I have been saying it the past many episodes, we are beyond the point of even boiling a frog, man. Like we passed the point of a crawfish boil. Like this pot is roiling over right now. All of these things are roiling to the top. We're talking paranormal, all kinds of things are roiling to the top. And all of this stuff. I was just talking about it on a panel at the Texas Dogman Convention, and the idea that experiencers specifically, Michael, people like yourself, people who have been taken aboard craft, people who have been in proximity of craft, are shifted vibrationally, no different than if you get a magnet near a needle.
Yeah.
You don't have to touch that needle to the magnet. You just have to get it near it for long enough, and it's magnetic, and it's like that forever.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And yeah, you are prone to revisiting. No different than somebody who was once possessed is now more prone to being possessed. Like you are now on the watch, you know?
Yes.
Because you're on the watch list.
Yes. yes.
And
exactly.
It's interesting to once again see that tie of demonic and alien being brought together.
Because basically what they're saying is you are other.
Yes. Yes.
You are other.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like the word.
Same.
And because, you know, if we go with what's his name, Brother Charles, right, who wrote, Charles Wright, the Air Force guy who wrote those books about the tall whites. What's his name? Charles. These people have families, man.
Yeah.
These people have families. These are sentient beings. But this is where the exopolitics comes in. We are up to our eyeballs in it. I was on someone's show the other night and he said, I don't really get into politics here. I said, well, brother, when you start talking about disclosure,
you can't when not you start be talking, talking politics.
That's exopolitics.
Yep.
Okay. And we can trace it back to Eisenhower when he signed those treaties. This is exopolitics.
Yeah.
Who's going to represent us? How are we going to navigate, negotiate with beings who are off planet? That is the heart of politics. So this is exopolitics we're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. And here we go. I'll bring it up right here. It's the Wikipedia page about the United States Office for Outer Space Affairs. Just in case you didn't realize, folks, yes, there is a UN General Assembly advocate and contact. So come the time that anything happens, yes, absolutely, the UN
has
a representative in place.
Yeah.
Whenever it first started, like back in 2011, 2012, it was a nice lady from South Korea. I'm not sure who the representative is now, but this is already a consideration.
And no one has talked to planet Earth, the rest of us, to say, who's going to represent us?
Yeah.
You probably need more than one person.
Yeah. You want to talk about selected, not elected. Jeez.
Yeah. Who gives the right? And maybe that's also one reason why so many people are being visited, because even maybe some of these star people are saying, well, no, we can't go to the governments too much. Let's go to the people.
Yeah.
Let's see how that's going to work out for us. But we'll see. We'll see, brother.
Well, and, you know, once again, the whole reason that I wanted to have this episode was to discuss mentalities, Michael, and specifically with somebody in a religious context and with somebody who is in the world of spiritual movement. Because I find it spiritually concerning for the true believer to think that your movement may be usurped, people. This right now, it ain't even a red flag. This is a fireworks display, man.
Yes.
Yes. Beware, be alert.
Be aware, be alert, but be not afraid.
Amen to that.
Be not afraid.
Amen to that. You know, and we all have to worry about the fact that our mentalities can be so easily hijacked. Our paradigms can be so easily hijacked and used against us. So we all have that due diligence to not only look out for ourselves, but to look out for each other, you know.
And to have the open conversations.
Don't close somebody off just because they're what you consider to be right-wing religious. Don't cut somebody off just because you believe them to be far left-wing political. That's not how the conversations happen. That's not how we advance as a humanity. So we have to be ready to do those things at this moment. So thank you so much for taking the time tonight, Reverend.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. You know that, brother. And I will talk to you soon. I got a book coming out, book of sermons. It won't be out till Christmas. I'll send you a copy.
Well, let everybody know where they can get their copies of Initiation.
I'm sorry. Listen, for those of you, first of all, thanks for tuning in. And you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Nobles. You can write me at MichaelJSCarter@gmail.com. My website is right up here, ReverendMichaelJSCarter.com. I have a fan page on Facebook, Reverend Michael J. Carter. And listen, keep the faith, whatever that faith is for you, and don't let them take away your joy. Brother Jordan, we will be in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you as always. I love our conversations on and off air.
Always,
my friend.
Brother.
Take care of yourselves. Blessings to the family.
To you and your family, man.
Absolutely. Take care of yourself. I'll be in touch with links, all that kind of good stuff.
All right, brother.
Awesome. God bless. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Man, always an amazing conversation with the good Reverend. While you are online checking all that out, and folks, believe me, like I was saying, the one thing that I will never do is defame somebody's faith or belief. I believe what I believe because of the experiences I have had. I have come to my world of belief in this world because of the spiritual paths I was put on by both my mother. Thank you for tuning in tonight, Mom. As well as the seminary and after the seminary and my exploration of world religion, and reading all of these texts and being willing to question my faith, being willing to question the sources of my faith, things like that. So be willing to question yourselves, be willing to accept beliefs that you may not really kinder to, because that is what helps make the world go round. That is what helps our faiths grow stronger, regardless of what they are. So keep your eyes out, keep your ears out, folks. Stay tuned through these commercial messages. We will be right back with our good friend, Dr. John Hall, carrying this conversation a little bit further into the technologies of control through his book, Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control, and the world of targeted individuals and the technologies that can actively put voices in your head, as discussed in Project Bluebeam. All of that coming up right after these commercial breaks with our good friend, Dr. John Hall, right after this. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back from that commercial break. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors, especially WebWorks Wireless. Their stuff has been pumping hard this last month here in the studio with over 30 hours of content going out. And man, to know that that is going out over a wireless network with that kind of quality is absolutely amazing. Stop on by, check them out, folks. WebWorksWireless.com is the website. They are your home for credit check free, absolutely amazing internet quality for your camp, your mobile home, mobile productions like mine. Our guest in this segment is our good friend, the indomitable Dr. John Hall, author of Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control. We are talking with him, of course, as always, about the horrifying topic of targeted individuals. Welcome back to the program, Dr. John Hall. How are you, bud?
Good, Chris. Good to be on with you.
Absolutely, man. It's I wanted to have you on tonight because our guest in the first segment, Reverend Michael J.S. Carter, one of the things that is I have been bringing up numerous times over the last many years, even in our Dudes and Beer incarnation, was the concept of Project Bluebeam and the idea of basically controlling masses en masse through illusory means, be it holograms, what have you. To help push a paradigm and to help push a population past a certain point. And I truly believe that that is one of the reasons behind targeting and targeted individuals is using this technology to bring a certain population to that point of either breaking or ridicule.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. When I wrote Technologies of Control, you know, it's really not just about, you know, the voices in the head or, the targeting with weapons to, you know, basically control someone by operant conditioning, which is basically hurting them until they do what you do. But, you know, control comes with a lot of factors. And, you know, we're now, you know, I was talking with some friends the other day, we're now in a society where, you know, we're kind of spoon fed the news that we're allowed to have. And that goes across the board with all the major media sources, most of the internet sources. I mean, you can find some truth out there when you're listening to podcasts like yours and, you know, and some other ones. And then you have to kind of filter that out to make sure it's not sensationalized. But, you know, the general public that's watching, you know, CBS, ABC, Fox News, MSNBC, you know, they're basically kind of being force fed a narrative on one side or another there. And then you have that, if you remember Obama, you know, had the Nudge Squad, you know, where they were, you know, basically weaponizing the internet to basically do psychological operations on the masses with that. So there's a bunch of different ways to control people, and, you know, and through misinformation or disinformation is one of the best ways. I mean, it's amazing that the technology I wrote about, you know, going on 20 years ago now with my first book, when that book came out, people said, this is insane. This doesn't exist. There's no way this exists. They can't listen to your thoughts in real time. You know, they can't, you know, bombard your brain with neurologic weapons. Well, then all of a sudden, you know, another 10 years later and, you know, a little more came out about it, and well, okay, well, it's feasible, but, you know, it's probably not being done to us. It's a weapon of war for use abroad. You know, well, you know, then all of a sudden you have the diplomats from Cuba and China and everywhere that, well, you know, we are being attacked like this, and it does seem to be microwave based weapons. Well, you know, then you have the CIA go in front of Congress and say, no, you know, we don't know what it is, but we think it's just anxiety.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, we just think it's people's loss of sleep from crickets.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, when you're trying to control the population, you know, you can control them with the technology or you can control them with lies. And we're getting a lot of both.
Well, and one of the things that I brought up on screen just a second ago was the Smith-Mundt Act, and not many people are aware of that. That is actively actively the act that was put before Congress many, many years ago up around World War II era that prevents the dissemination of propaganda to the American people. However, not many people realize that the Smith-Mundt Act was modernized and actively all but repealed. There it is from foreignpolicy.com talking about U.S. repeals propaganda ban, spreads government-made news to Americans. That was, let's see when that was. I want to say that was 2012 that came out. 2013. So as of 2013, the Smith-Mundt Act, as we know it, has been gutted. And as part of the NDAA, and you know me, Dr. Hall, my audience knows me, I am not a politically motivated dude. I'm not one to be like, oh, it's all that guy's fault. However, when you're talking about not fully repealing, but gutting an act that prevents propaganda coming to the U.S. people through their media, and then you go off and found an Office of Anti-Propaganda Propaganda.
It's starting to sound like an Orwellian book, isn't it?
Well, it was funny when that happened because it was like, well, wait a minute. There it is. Office for Anti-Propaganda Propaganda. And it's absolutely strange to know that, yes, our government put that forth in the NDAA of 2016 and, it passed through, it went through, and it's like, why don't you just call it a propaganda office?
Well, and propaganda pretty much is all we're getting from our major media sources now too, you know, especially with the current State Department. And I'm probably a little more political, a political animal than you are, mainly because, at least the way I see it, the only solution, to the problems that I write about is going to be political. Solution.
Absolutely. I firmly, firmly agree with that, Dr. Hall. Absolutely. I believe that it's going to be, it's the only way that we as a citizen regain protection is through the law. And through the Constitution.
Because I know I work with a lot of people who are constantly looking for ways to shield from it or devices they can use to, to intercept or break up the signals that are being, beamed at them. And ultimately, it's going to be political solutions where basically it's just there's laws passed against domestic use and oversight. And unfortunately, that means oversight over intelligence agencies.
Right
now, intelligence agencies control everything, including our politicians. So,
well, including what you get to write.
Yeah.
People don't realize that books like this, like, yes, this was written. This exists because the technology exists. I'm holding guinea pigs in my hand right now, Doctor. I know you're on the phone and you can't see that. But this book exists because you submitted a manuscript to government offices and they approved it. Like, this was approved by the federal government to come out, people.
But the interesting thing is, they're not wanting my third book out, and I'm not real sure, what that is. But because I do have a third manuscript, and it's pretty much ready to go. The book's called The Fourth Branch, obviously about the fourth branch of government that's actually controlling everything, and they do not. I mean, they have stopped me at every pass to get that thing published. I mean, it's looking like it may end up having to be self-published, which I hate to do because you don't get the exposure to the people who really want to read it.
But
even though my first two books were approved after they went through some of the documentation stuff that I used to write them, you can't buy either one of those books on a government computer. They are banned from being sold on government computers. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like you can go to like a bookstore on base and find it.
No. and I actually, there was a colonel at Fort Bragg who was working with the 5th POG, the psychological operations group there. Mm. And, you know, he had called me, this was, you know, right after Guinea Pigs came out, and had a soldier that had been charged with rape and had no memory of actually raping anybody. And oh, wow. His CO actually said, you know what? I believe this guy. You know, he's a good guy and not in within his personality to do this. And has no recollection of doing it. And I said, well, I said, you're at Fort Bragg, right? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, I said, you know, that's where the 5th POG is, psychological operations. He's like, yeah, and that's my worry. And right about then, after I had that conversation with him, they banned my books from being purchased off the government computer.
Wow. Wow. And you know, for those of you out there who may be listening, I know we have quite the audience of targeted individuals that are listening. God bless every one of you. And what you are going through, this is a horrible, horrible chain of events once it starts happening to people. There are ways, as we've talked about with Dr. Hall, with Robert Duncan before, to mentally help strengthen yourself that will help fend some of that off and eventually even make you a disinterested subject to their technology, where it's the fact of like, well, they're no longer giving us a cortisol response. So we can't ride that sine wave anymore, you know. Which is truly a lot of what it is. It's interesting once you start digging down that rabbit hole and really seeing the fact that, yeah, once you get inside of that, not only the victimized mental set, doctor, but the weakened mental set of loss of sleep, things like that, it makes it easier for that technology to lock in.
Well, and that's the, you know, the unfortunate thing with this type of targeting is your best opportunity to help someone who's being targeted is at the very beginning of the targeting when it really is mostly physical stalking. But, you know, that's done so professionally that not many people realize they're being stalked, you know, and when they finally do let you know you're being stalked, and by all means, they're letting you know. I mean, they could continue to stalk you surreptitiously, and that's, they decide, okay, we're going to start zapping them with energy and making them hear voices, and we're going to let ourselves be known because that's still part of the operation. Once they let you know, then you're already, you know, the electronic harassment part of it is right around the corner, and then it's a little harder to stop. But, you know, if people were a little more cognizant of the physical stalking at the very beginning, that's probably the best time to nip it in the bud, you know, because you know, we do have laws against stalking. And if you can get some photos and pictures of the same people following you around, well, you know, going to your work, that would be the time to stop it. Once you're in the throes of, you know, true remote electronic harassment, because then it's, you know, it doesn't have to be somebody within line of sight.
Yeah.
So then it's a little harder to deal with. So,
well, and once again, the fact that it's going to have to be a legal means, at least to start the dominoes falling, is hugely important, and people do not understand that. Right now, I mean, one of our other huge movements that we are behind is anti-human trafficking, and even trying to get people to understand the legal definition of human trafficking. And how to enact those laws that are finally on the books. It took decades of advocacy to get human trafficking recognized and an actual law written. Decades. So this is stuff that, at least as far as the general public, Dr. Hall, is just hitting the radar. With things whenever I bring it up at bars when I'm traveling and talking and I bring up Havana syndrome, there's probably a good 40% of people that are like, Havana what? Like, they aren't aware of it. There's a good 40% of the populace that is still fully unaware that this stuff is going on.
Well, and you got to remember, we're talking about propaganda. You know, all of our major media sources are propaganda sources now. So once the CIA said, no, it's crickets, you know, it's crickets and it's anxiety, you know, you guys need to stop covering it. They stopped covering it.
Yeah.
So now the Canadian victims are suing over that, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, so far the victims that were U.S. citizens are having a little harder time, you know, and that ought to, if you're a targeted individual and you're being victimized by this technology experimentally, then that kind of tells you something too, that the government is actually turning their back on their own employees too. So
yeah,
that you can imagine what they think of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Precisely. And, I mentioned earlier before we hit record that there was a clip that I wanted to play. A couple weeks ago, I went to the second annual Dogman Encrypted conference, spoke with a researcher there, Lance. It was Lance Hightower, and his whole presentation at the conference was about the stalking and following of paranormal individuals, people who have had paranormal experiences, people who investigate these things, whether it be Bigfoot in national parks, what have you. I want to play that clip out real quick and let you hear what he has to say, because the echoes of this are so huge, Doctor. It's wild. Check this out.
So how do you actually bastardize the truth, or you have infiltration? And, you know, how you keep secrets secret is, on their side, you do it by threats. And when I say threats, it's what I call what their acronym is, which is TRIP, which is Terminate with Extreme Prejudice. Mm. Well, I like to call it what they do to these paranormal people that have these sometimes horrible encounters. I call it DWEP, Devastate with Extreme Prejudice. Mm. So they will close accounts. They will offer very soft threat. It depends on the circumstance of the intensity of the encounter. And it's in so many words how they say what they say.
Now, interestingly enough, Lance, we have a great number of people who listen to our show. And one of the topics that we talk about is targeted individuals. Mm-hmm. Not a topic that a lot of people are aware of. Not many people know that people out there have been suffering Havana syndrome type symptoms for decades, mm-hmm. and been called crazy. And a lot of what you were talking about, my man,
which is perfect,
rings because straight into the world of targeted individuals. The idea of being able to read brain waves at a distance, being able to EEG heterodyne somebody and get what their physiology is from a distance.
Yeah. And if those people that label those people of crazy, then this corporate group has done their job, because the primary emotion that they try to inflict on you is ridicule.
One of the documents I have in my knowledge vault is, we have Dr. John Hall on regularly talking about this stuff, and it is a paper called The Hall Effect, where literally a group of scientists have gotten together and said that the people who come to Dr. John Hall and say that they are experiencing this are the same people who say that they are hearing voices and experiencing ghosts in their house. That, you know, they're just as crazy as those people. Mm-hmm. And this is in the realm of paranormal, things like that. And it's funny to me that you are saying this, and that paper actively exists. That is an active research paper that is out there.
Once again, the
Hall Effect paper. I've got it up on screen right now. There is the actual paper, folks, about Dr. John Hall's story, a case study in putative haunted people syndrome. Basically, once again, ridiculing every one of these people, ridiculing the work, and publicly trying to put that face on it.
And you have to ask yourself, why would it be so important for a group of scientists, you know, to basically pick apart a book I wrote a decade ago to try to help people that have came to me, you know, voicing this problem. So, I mean, and you have to look at those kind of things too, is that if someone is so threatened by something that they have to counter it you know, with a counteraction, then you're usually pretty close to the truth.
Yeah, yeah, so, precisely.
I'm actually, at first I was a little upset about that, you know, especially using my, because, you know, those scientists never did reach out to me. Not once.
Oh, absolutely never, not. Absolutely yeah. not.
But, you know, because I feel like there probably should have been some remuneration if they were going to use my name on a new DSM, 10 disorder or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and especially the fact of like your name is in the title. You'd think they'd have to contact you somehow.
I recall that was Australian or UK, wasn't it?
That was out of, let's see. I'm trying to see. DOI. So I'm trying to see mental health, religion, and culture. Looks like Taylor and Francis Group. I don't know.
Because I was thinking that the main author at the time was
London, UK.
European. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Department of Psychology, Buckinghamshire, New University, London, UK is where that came out of. So, yeah.
Well, and they're having a lot of problems with targeting, you know, with this technology in the UK. There's a ton of targeted individuals in the UK because I hear from them quite often. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's one way they're maybe trying to, you know, get underneath it there is saying, well, these are, you know, just a bunch of people who somehow or another got a hold of Hall's books and are now demonstrating the Hall effect. But, yeah, there's a lot of targeting going on in the UK.
Wow. Wow. And once again, I have always held the fact that it is contractors testing equipment, doing that kind of stuff. Whether or not you can say it is like the CIA directly or anything like that is a different story. But is it contractors thereof who are making the equipment, testing the equipment, everything else? Sure. That absolutely makes sense to me. And
well, you know, ever since they got the CIA got kind of, you know, busted with MK Ultra, you know, by, you know, they shredded everything but financial records. They've kind of changed, you know, the MO, the way most research is done that is black budgeted is kind of done through independent contractors or, you know, false companies, you know, the ecological group and stuff like that, that, you know, or just actually pumped into blackout funding of research through universities. And that way, when people do kind of find the financial records, it traces back to, you know, a CIA created company or, you know, a university that is where the funds have been lumped in with other legitimate research. But, you know, that what we found early on was that most of this was being done by third party contractors that were former CIA, former NSA, former FBI running private investigative services.
Yeah. Yeah. And even when you are considering the fact, because I am hugely happy. I mean, I think most of us in these communities are hugely happy with the congressional hearings going on right now with UFO UAP. What I am more happy with about anything is the revelations of black money, Dr. Hall. Because once we, and that's what I've been telling people, you know, like my dad, who were like, oh, you're a little green man. Come on. Hey, you want to get past little green men? The question is, are you cool? Are you cool with the Pentagon Papers? Are you cool with Iran-Contra? Because this is telling us that we have had something far beyond that into the trillions of dollars since 1939. And that there is an infrastructure specifically built to obfuscate these technologies, to obfuscate these companies that are built out of companies and out of projected funds. So that to me is more than anything what will help even bust bust all of this wide open when it comes to targeted individuals, targeting technologies. Once we get a lockdown on black monies, I think we'll start seeing a lot of things kind of start getting choked off.
Well, and you know, we're at a point where politically there just about is going to have to be some change to come around to a political system that's, you know, a little more ethically sound than what we've had. And that is the problem. I mean, look what's happening with Mitch McConnell. You know, he's, you know, having these, you know, looks like seizures or.
Good God. It's like somebody's hitting the reset button.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have Feinstein, that one of her aides is having to whisper in her ear to tell her how to vote. And, you know, we need these people out. We got to go back to a form of government where, you know, maybe there's term limits, maybe there's age restrictions, maybe there's
nobody over 55, nobody over 12 years.
Well, hey, it can't be 55, brother, because I may run here in a couple of years. But, but you know, some age in there with some experience and with some wisdom is probably not a problem in that.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know if a solid age restriction would be it. Or cognitive testing. But,
I don't know that we necessarily need 80-year-olds running the joint.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean,
they don't really have a generation positive viewpoint on things, much less a huge grasp on the technological aspects of what's going on in the world around us.
But to jump on my political soapbox for just a second,
we need
term limits. You know, we need cognitive testing. And right now we have a country that's being ran by a Senate leader who's blacking out, a president that has dementia. You know, Pelosi, you know, an argument could be made that she's suffering from dementia. Feinstein is just barely alive, you know, and we've got, you know, video of her being told how to vote by her staff. I mean, you reach a certain age and a certain level of impairment where it's the people around you that are not elected that are making decisions, and we can't have that. Our government was never meant to function that way. And that's what we have with the State Department right now. You know, Biden's not really making the decisions. It's the cronies that he has around them, and they may not be making decisions that are in the best wishes of the majority of the populace, whether it's Democrat or Republican. And the problem's on both sides. But at least, you know, Ramaswamy probably does have some good ideas. I mean, you know, put the intelligence agencies back under some oversight where they're not running the show or controlling, you know, politicians through threats. Some term limits so you can't spend 40 years there until you're suffering from dementia and still expected to sign, you know, legislation that affects us all. And like I said, some cognitive testing there. There needs to be some changes, you know, including changes in the IRS. You know, your financial freedom is a basis for every other freedom. You know, if you're not basically free to work, you know, at the best of your ability and try to make a living without the government taxing most of it, you know, then that's difficult too. And right now, I mean, you know, I'm a physician and I can't do my own taxes. You know, taxes, if we're going to have an income tax, should be so simple that anyone can do it. Not so complex that you have to hire an accountant, you know, or a CPA to do your taxes. It should have never came to that. So, I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy does seem to have some good ideas. I mean, I don't know how electable, you know, he is, but, you know, he's on the right track. And hopefully the people that are kind of in his generation, the late 20s to late 30s, you know, we'll step forward and, you know, kind of start, you know, voting, you know, to where we're heading in a different direction and not a globalist direction, because that's where we're headed now. So.
Well, and that was honestly a lot of the talk in our previous conversation before commercial break was the idea of control of the masses through a paradigm. Doctor, the idea of, you know, Project Bluebeam. And sure, there may be a realm of the populace that needs something beamed into their head via targeted means. However, there's a large swath of the populace that don't need that at all to be catalyzed into action. You know, And it doesn't take a lot to catalyze people into action. It really doesn't. January 6th is a prime example of that.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't take a whole lot. It really didn't. And yes, I will agree the fact, folks, there are questions on both sides of that equation. I'd like to know why the public gallery was shut down. You know, that's pretty interesting to me. But it's kind of overshadowed by the fact of, well, that other thing happened, you know, and as long as we continue this infrared, ultraviolet, red versus blue, without looking at the purple in between, we're going to continue to have this problem. It really is the fact of, and like you've said before, like we were saying just a few minutes ago, it doesn't sound like it's a political solution that it's going to take to stop targeting, but it is.
Yeah.
Whether it's a panel to find out funding, like we're talking about right now with UFOs, UAPs, and dark money. Dark parts of the government, compartmentalized parts of the government, compartmentalized parts of contractors that work for the government on numerous levels, to the fact of the didactic that keeps getting pushed and keeps us against each other, keeps us distracted from being able to get things taken care of, from getting things proposed. Either way, yes, the solution is political.
Well, and especially when we're all dealing with a government that we really can't trust. You know, as a physician, you know, I see people every day. Some of them come in wearing masks still. Some of them aren't wearing masks. And I'm sitting here right now doing this interview with you with COVID for the second time. You know, me and my daughter both, you know, contracted it. And I've had the vaccine, and I've had it before, and I've got it again. You know, so... Yeah, and unfortunately, yeah. We're sick because we have a government that partially funded a lab that created this thing and unleashed it on the freaking globe. It, you know, killed a bunch of people, caused shutdowns. You know, so we're going to basically trust the government that did that to us to begin with, you know, to tell us to mask up again and, you know, and keep getting boosters for this. I don't think so. You know, I think, you know, we're done trusting a government that gives us nothing but lies.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting. I was having that conversation with somebody just the other day at a conference. And it was and that's exactly what they said, was like, if I could trust the government at all, maybe I would go to them for an answer on this. and yeah, you know, I've said it. Yeah, you could probably go back and search the phrase throughout Dudes and Beer and throughout Curious Realm. I would challenge you to find one time that any of these alphabet agencies have been called before Congress and have not been found to be lying in some way, shape, or form. Specifically, the CIA.
Yeah,
I don't know of a single time that they've ever been called before Congress and were not just bald face lying, which granted is their job. So they're obviously good at it. Good enough to not only lie publicly, but for people to be like, hey, you know, what's going on with that?
Well, and if you know, remember the last congressional hearing on the diplomats and Havana syndrome that the CIA came forward with, this is after researchers at UPenn, researchers in Florida, and researchers in Canada all came to the conclusion that these people were attacked and had white track matter damage, you know, on imaging from microwave-based weaponry. And we're pretty conclusive about those, you know, decisions. And then the CIA came out and said, no, we disagree with that. And, you know, all of this can be attributed. Our own research has attributed it to stress and anxiety. Possibly permethrin poison, you know, to spray crickets and, you know, cricket making sound themselves, you know, and that's just basically, we now have a government and a propaganda system where once that comes out to the press, they're like, here's your lie. We expect you to take it and believe it. You know, you were lying. We know we're lying, but here's the answer that we're going to give you. you know. So, I mean, to come right out and disagree with the exact researchers that they sent these people to be evaluated, I thought was pretty rich, because they weren't expecting those researchers to come to that conclusion.
Well, yeah, and I mean, a specific, I just brought up the Penn Medicine News article about the brain matter alterations in the victims. So, and that was something that, because of the realm of technology that they claimed, they were not expecting to find whatsoever.
That, yeah, was, my guess, my guess. Big
indicator for the fact that it was something along the lines of microwave weaponry or something that would shake your brain inside of your skull.
Well, and my gut feeling is that when they sent these diplomats to UPenn, they, you know, because UPenn gets a lot of government funding. And I think their expectation was that these researchers were going to do basic MRIs, not tensor imaging, which is what you have to do to find white track matter damage. And expected they would do some basic, you know, 1.5T MRIs on their brains and go, no, don't see anything here, you know, and there's no physical damage on the outside.
Yeah.
And let it go with that. I don't think they were expecting them to delve deep like they did. You know, and some of these, I'm sure some of these victims probably, you know, went to their researchers and said, well, this guy seems to know what it is. Have you read this book? Because I did have, you know, a couple of people reach out to me. So that may have led them a little better in a direction. But, you know, for, you know, two separate research facilities and a bunch of physicians to come to that decision, you know, that it's possibly microwave energy, and for the CIA to just straight out poo-poo it and go, well, no, we don't agree with that. Our own research points towards anxiety is just, you know, why would anybody believe that?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty remarkable to see. And once again, the rapid changes all the time. I remember when I first contacted you about the lead on this story back in 2015. To see the changes that have happened between then and now, are remarkable. And I think it holds good hope for the fact that we may get hearings on this. It would be fantastic if we did.
Because, I mean, I don't think anybody's expecting this technology to go away. It's only going to worsen. You know, especially when, you know, they're looking at wanting to control masses. But, you know, if we can get an ethical form of government in, I mean, there can be some oversight. I mean, we're going to need oversight over the intel community anyway. I mean, because right now, you know, there's no oversight. I mean, they, you know, it's like when Trump was, you know, in office, you know, Schumer was pretty succinct when he said, you know, you don't mess with the intel agency. They have 6 ways to Sunday to get you back. You know, and our government shouldn't operate that way.
Yeah. Yeah. True that. True that. It's interesting to see how they use the alphabet agencies against each other and against their opponents. It's always a case. Never hasn't been. The FBI is basically just the strong arm of numerous offices. So hopefully one day we will wrestle that control back from things and be able to bring about some change in this. What can individuals do, Doctor, if they think that they are one of those that are possibly targeted?
First off, I would read guinea pigs, because it's going to save you from making a lot of pitfalls that a lot of targeted individuals make. You know, like I said, if you're noticing you're being stalked, take that seriously. You know, try to get plate numbers, try to get pictures, go to your, you know, local police. If you can nip it in the bud when it's actually just physical stalking, that's the time to do it. And then there are, you know, groups online, you know, if you Google targeted individual, you know, this is one of the most reported crimes online that there is. I mean, we're now at a point where it used to be a relative rarity of people that you would see. But, you know, we're at a point now where just about anybody you talk to will tell you, you know what, I've got a son, or I've got a cousin, or I've got a niece, or I've got a nephew that was complaining about this. We're at a point where just about every family has somebody that has voiced these complaints. And now they may not always be believed, you know, and certainly, you know, you have to distinguish it from the reality of, you know, mental illness. You know, you have to, you know, make sure that it is targeting and not something that's treatable. But, I mean, it's more common now that for anybody to do a Google search, I mean, you can certainly educate yourself on it. But if somebody is feeling like they're being targeted, there are groups that you can get into where you can kind of compare notes and, you know, and learn from other people's failures.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, once again, I always love having you on to talk about this. It is not an easy topic to discuss. It's not an easy topic to even broach with most people because of the depth to which it goes and the fact of it gets into pretty nefarious things pretty quick, you know. And as you've said, you're surprised I haven't hit the list. So we'll see if that doesn't change someday.
Yeah,
I've definitely been asked to join the Illuminati in the last month. So we'll see how that goes. But let everybody know where they can go to get your books, Doctor, where they can go to keep up with your research, all that kind of good stuff.
There is a Guinea Pigs Technologies of Control Facebook page. When I'm able to keep it up and running, you know, it gets hammered quite a bit. And then Amazon, for both of my books can be ordered there. And then look out for the fourth branch. That'll be the next book, you know, coming. And we'll probably break that news on your show. So
yeah, I cannot wait for that book. My God, it's been at least a year or so that I know of, that I've known of it. And I have been anxiously awaiting. So I look forward to it. Thanks as always for the time, Doctor. Take care of yourself, man. Get well, okay?
All righty. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Thanks so much. Hold the line real quick while we close things out with everybody. While you are online checking out the amazing work of Dr. John Hall and Guinea Pigs Technologies of Control, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is where you can go and find our store. That's where you can find all of the amazing books from all of our guests. That's where you can find the knowledge vault full of declassified government documents and even medical studies like the Hall Effect. Go by there. Check that out, everybody. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Thank you, as always, for being there for these conversations. It is because of your open hearts and open minds that we are making this world a better place. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And remember, stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Download the official Curious Realm app and view the knowledge vault on our website, CuriousRealm.com. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast services, as well as YouTube, Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV through the APR TV app, available on all app markets. Curious Realm is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great content or to become a sponsor of Curious Realm or other podcasts, visit HCUniversalNetwork.com today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And remember, the other side is always watching.